Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day dear listeners, you are listening to Israel on My Mind with me, Jono Van Dor, here on Israel News Talk Radio. My co-host Ross Nichols is actually on his way to Israel as we speak. Later on in this program, I'll be joined by Dr. David Adler of the Australian Jewish Association. We're going to be talking about, of course, our friend and colleague Ari Fuld, Hero of Israel. But before we do that, I'd like to play to you the fourth quarter, the last part of that interview that I played. Now, if you missed last week's program, you can go back in the archives. Just go to israelnewstalkradio.com and click on Israel on My Mind, and it'll be there for you to listen to the first three quarters of an interview that I did with Ari Fuld in January. This is the last quarter of that interview, in which he talks about Standing Together, an organization which he passionately advocated for, worked for tirelessly. And you're going to hear him say some things that even explain his very last moments before he was sadly murdered and succumbed to his wounds. We miss him, and so this is not a usual program. Last week's program was dedicated to Ari. This week's program is dedicated to Ari as well. You're going to hear in the second segment a discussion with Dr. David Adler of the Australian Jewish Association. I'm going to be asking him about topics such as the moving the Australian embassy to Jerusalem. Is that on the horizon? The possibility of cutting foreign aid programs to the PA and UNRWA, which reward and or incite terror. We're going to be talking about Ari, because again, this plays directly into that story, and that the Arab terrorist will be receiving what is commonly referred to as Slave for Pay initiative from the PA. That comes from taxpayers' money. It comes from aid from around the world, including Australia. Our taxes here in Australia go towards, some of it goes towards such monstrous motivations. We're going to be talking about that later on in this program. That's all coming up on Israel on My Mind here at Israel News Talk Radio, straight after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Standing Together 24/7 IDF, this is who you represent these days. It's the motto is making a difference to those who make a difference in Israel and helping the world express gratitude to those who keep Israel safe. Tell us a little bit about Standing Together.
Okay. So Standing Together is my personal therapy, and I mean that, you know, as real as I can say it. You know, I've been in the IDF reserves now for 23 years. I've been in two different wars, tens of operations, I don't know how many. I've lost and buried friends over the last 23 years, felt the pain, felt happiness at times. In 2006, I'll make a very long story short, we were 38 somewhat kilometers into Lebanon. It's 26 miles for those of you in America. And we were pretty much ambushed by Hezbollah. A guy was killed, a couple were shot up, you know, several were hit with shrapnel, and direct officer was hit horribly, also by fire, by bullet fire, and also by shrapnel in the chest. And long story short, you know, I'm in the front with him, and he went forward and got hit, and I was evacuating him. And as I got back to where we were hiding out, the doctors jumped on him, and they jumped the other guys, and the medic then jumped on me, and I was like, you know, get off of me. And a huge piece of shrapnel from my mortar blew through my vest You know, I believe you saw it when I was in Australia.
You handed round a piece of metal that was almost as big as my hand and really had quite a bit of weight to it. It was a jagged piece of metal that you handed around that was taken out of your back. Is that correct?
Not out of my back, out of my vest.
Out of
it
your
was taken out of my back. If it would have gone into my back, it would not have stopped. Physically, it should have cut me in half like butter without any problem. Why it stopped is beyond me. I mean, thank God. I know why it stopped. But I'm saying doesn't make any sense. I wasn't wearing a bulletproof vest. So the war was a very it was trauma. You know, it was traumatic, physically and emotionally. I'll tell all those who are not military out there, when you're in war, it's a little bit surreal. And bullets are flying by you and whizzing by you and explosion and knocking you back and forth. It's surreal. You don't think. I can't explain it to you. When you get back home from the war, it hits you like a brick. So you want to call it PTSD. I mean, you know, some of the effects are actually positive for me. Like, I don't sleep much. I can do more work and get more things done. But some of the things are negative affecting, and I couldn't go back to work so quickly. And it's not that I was ducking when a helicopter went over. It was when I heard a siren, I would charge the siren. In other words, if I know that there's danger, I will charge the danger to be there first to try to take care of the threat. Mm-hmm. And till today, if something happens in Israel, a terrorist attack or anything, and I can't be there to help, I feel guilty about that. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Mm-hmm. But in other words, not that I think I can take care of everything, but I have a responsibility to try. And if I can't do it, I'm not trying hard enough. So I went studying a couple of years to, you know, a little calm my brain. And then I did go back to high tech, which was horrible for me. Again, not that it's bad for me. It wasn't, you know, I have a marketing degree and I, you know, at conferences, at fairs, I can get the whole audience up on their legs and screaming about, you know, a product which I don't even believe in, but I do a good job at it also. But it just wasn't for me. I needed something, you know, to fill me up in terms of, I don't know. 3 years ago, I get a call. When we got back from Lebanon, we were broken. We were physically, emotionally, you know, and we passed over the border, and we were exhausted. We ran out of food. We ran out of water. We were dehydrated. We were hallucinating. We were seeing things. And a truck drives up to the border, and a guy gets in and goes, "What do you need?" And we look at him like, "What? You know what? What do you need?" I said, "We need water." He goes to the back of this huge trailer, opens it up, fresh bottles of water and juice and iced coffee. It was August, remember. What do you need? Food. Pulls sandwiches out and chocolate and candies. Oh, my God. I could still taste it in my mouth. What else do you need? I said, "We haven't changed our clothing. We were drenched. It was summer. Mm. We were drenched." He pulls underwear out, shorts, T-shirts, Crocs. You know, our boots. We haven't had any of the rest. We walked around, I don't know, 120 kilometers over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Our feet were destroyed. Putting your feet in Crocs, you know what that's like? You know? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Crocs are free advertising here. But and then I walked over to the guy. I was looking for wings on his back. I literally thought he was an angel. I said, "Who are you?" And he says to me, "I run an organization called Standing Together, and our goal is wherever IDF soldiers will be there for them." And I said, "Well, where's all this stuff from? What are you, like a trillionaire?" And his truck was packed from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And he was driving the border for 20 days. And he says to me, "Hold on 1 second. I can't talk to you now. I have to make pancakes." And I'm going, "Pancakes? What are you talking about?" And so he drops off in front of me a bag of thousands of letters, goes to the back of the trailer, opens up the window, and he's making pancakes on a fresh griddle. And I'm like, "What, is this a joke?" So I open up the letters and says, "Dear IDF soldier, know that we're praying for you. We support you. And we love you. Signed, Michael, Jennifer, Shlomo, Hebrew, English, Jews, non-Jews." People just sent us so much support and love. You know, I was hurt in that war more emotionally and physically, but this put everything back. And I'm bringing the letters to the Israeli natives, and I'm translating it, and they're crying because we know what they say on the news, you know, about us, when we, you know, all kinds of names. To get this kind of support from people so far away, it literally saved us. So, you know, and he really, the food was delicious. The gear was great, but that support was so important for us.
And clearly, Ari, this was support you weren't expecting. You made it across the border, and then what? You were prepared to just fall down and wait for someone to find
you? I'll tell you even something more. The IDF could not fly us back to Israel. They were afraid of flying helicopters in, so we had to walk back. We walked 18 hours. We crossed over the border. They told us we have to keep walking down because they can't bring buses up to the border. We couldn't walk anywhere. We collapsed. So when this guy came up, it was a lifesaver. It was literally like someone drowning and they throw him a buoy. It was a lifesaver. There's no words that I can describe to you what it did for us.
So let me understand that Standing Together 24/7 IDF is the only organization that conducts these activities?
Yes. So what happened was, over the last 2 years, the IDF has cracked down on all kinds of donations to soldiers. People were opening up all kinds of pirated donations pages, and nobody was tracking where the money's going, and nobody tracking if the soldiers got what they needed to get. So the IDF has basically said no more. No more donations to soldiers. This is ridiculous. And they closed organizations down. And you cannot, you know, give them combat gear and stuff, which has always been ridiculous. And for Standing Together, they give us full clearance. Because for 22 years, we've been doing this on the table, always with IDF clearance. So right now, they've given us clearance to go into the official IDF training areas, which are not talking on bases. We're talking about in the bush area. Now, I just want to explain that 3 years ago, I get a call from the head of this organization and says, hey, how would you like to help us run the organization? I quit my job in high tech in a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And for the last 3 years, 25 hours a day, 9 days a week, I am doing 18, 19 hours a day, as much as I can to help support IDF soldiers on the front lines. This is something unique about us. We're not helping, again, guys in the office, the women, men and women in the office are important, but they don't need my help. We are reaching only the frontline soldiers, only the ones seeing the combat. That's not because not everyone's not important, but they're the ones who need the most. And so what we're doing is, not only are we helping them and supporting them, we're going to everyone around the world and saying, people, IDF are there. Let's show them how much love, support, and appreciation we have for them from all over the world. So we have several campaigns, including the food truck that goes out daily. You know, we're buying a new truck now because the IDF has given us full clearance. We have to get to approximately 2,000 soldiers a day, so we have to buy a new truck. So we're working on that full scale right now.
You said, did you just say you have to get to 2,000 soldiers a day?
Well, we don't have to. We have clearance to get to. Right now we get to.
But you have the ability to do that with a truck?
Not the one that we have right now. We can get to around 500 to 600 a day. The new truck that we're looking at right now, and it's we know, including a 3-day generator or whatever it is, so we can stay in the areas for 3 days and go from base to base. That could get to 2,000 soldiers a day. And, you know, it has a full kitchen inside, room for gear, room for stuff they can give to soldiers, and computers online where we can have live message being sent from whoever's donating and sponsoring, you know. And that's this new truck, you know, it's a huge 4x4. It's a huge 4x4 front with a massive thing in the back, which is, it's a one piece. It's not a two piece like we have today. So you can actually drive into the most, you know, difficult areas to get into. And we're on high gear trying to find sponsors for this new truck. You know, that's one of the major campaigns we're doing right now. I'll just quickly run some of the campaigns by you. The lone soldiers in Israel, which are soldiers who are serving the IDF when their parents or families are not in Israel. So we're flying their families in, families who can't afford it, to be at their graduations. I know, as me, I was a lone soldier. Mm-hmm. I remember the tears coming down my eyes as I graduated from my basic training, and none of my family was there. Mm. Not because they didn't want to come, because they're in America. Mm. So we find these people who cannot pay, and we fly them in so that this guy or this girl who's a lone soldier can enjoy their family at their graduation like every other Israeli.
Yep.
We're renting apartments in Jerusalem for 60 lone soldiers a year. And we have a volunteer base which has everything ready for them in their apartment. They don't have to do a thing. That's the second campaign. We have to go out daily. Every day we reach every 100 soldiers, it costs us $1,000. It's $10 a soldier for the food and drinks and whatever we bring to them. Mm. And we don't work. You know, the only thing we do, we have the money, we go out. We don't have the money, we can't go out. It's very simple. I'm not complaining. It's just we don't. So that's when I tell people, you've got to help us. We want to get out every single day. We want to get to the most amount of soldiers. So we're running campaigns daily. And we need help. We need help. You know, again, I don't need help. We want to get to as many soldiers. And therefore, I'm saying to people, look, help us show appreciation and say thank you to the men and women of the IDF who are putting their own lives in line to support Israel. It's very simple.
That's it. Now, the website is www.stogether.org. The letter S together.org.
S like standing. And I just want to tell everyone, we did two things just now on the website. Number one, we have a built-in crowdfunding platform where you can build your own campaign for your community, for a wedding, for an anniversary, for a birthday party, a bat mitzvah, whatever it is, church, synagogue, whatever you are, you could build your campaign. And then, you know, we'll have whatever money comes in, we make that campaign, it'll have a full send. This was from this family or this synagogue or this church or this community, whatever it is, coming from them. So you could do that. And again, here's the thing. We don't have an office. We don't spend money on an office. I'm the only person who gets a salary in the organization. Everybody else is volunteer. Right. Everybody from our accountant to a lawyer. You know, a funny story I'll tell you. We were looking for someone to design a brochure. Now, I'm the kind of guy who can't, you know, color in the circle, okay? Right. And I spoke to a graphic artist, and they said to me that they want $10,000 or $4,000 for the brochure. I said, I'm not spending $4,000, although that's what it's worth. I'm not going to use money that was donated to soldiers. I sat day and night for around 2 weeks, no sleep, and designed the brochure. Mm-hmm. The website, I'm not a programmer, I'm not a graphic designer. I designed the website, it's not great, but again, so we are looking for volunteers now to do those things as well. But I would love it if we can find someone and say, you know what, you're doing great stuff, we're covering the expenses. We're covering your website, we're gonna cover this and that, because look, I'm not doing this for money. I'm not doing this for a job. This is really, you know, what was given to me. I'm passing it forward.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with me, John O'Vandor, here on Israel News Talk Radio. My co-host, Ross Nichols, is on his way to Israel as we speak. So joining me for this week's show is Dr. David Adler of the Australian Jewish Association. The website is jewishassociation.org.au. That's jewishassociation.org.au. You also find AJA on Facebook. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Jono, and very pleased to be with you, although we have a rather sad cloud over us.
We do indeed, and it's been a sad number of weeks, though it is the Jewish festivals. We're in Sukkot at the moment. Mm. It certainly made for a very solemn Yom Kippur. Unfortunately, we have lost an Israel News Talk Radio colleague, Ari Fuld, on the 16th of September, a teenage Arab terrorist stabbed him in the back and killed him. We're going to be talking about that. You and I were in Israel last year for the centenary of the Battle of Be'er Sheva, in which the Australian Light Horse Brigade played such a pivotal role. We were in separate traveling groups. We didn't meet in person until we returned to Australia, and the event that brought us together in Melbourne was a speaking tour involving yourself and, to my surprise, Ari Fuld. While Ari was in Australia, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to get together, and I want to take the opportunity now to thank you for bringing us together. That was the first time that we met. Although Ari, as I mentioned, a colleague of Israel News Talk Radio, his show Bulletproof, that was the first opportunity I had to meet him in person. Now, Ari's presentation, it was powerful and not dissimilar to the first segment to this week's show, which was the last quarter of an interview I conducted with Ari in January. Listeners can find the rest of that interview on last week's show on Israel News Talk Radio. Just type in Israel on My Mind and it'll bring you there, where he talks about the four facts that establish all Israel as the rightful Jewish homeland and exposes the false Palestinian narrative. And as we heard before the break, Ari passionately talked about his involvement with Standing Together 24/7 IDF. And again, that website is stogether.org, the letter S, together.org. Now, obviously, I want to talk about Ari, but first, David, can we talk about the AJA?
Sure.
What is the AJA? How does the AJA differ to or from other Australian Jewish representations and organisations?
Well, the summary version is that the AJA, the Australian Jewish Association, has two major planks. From a political point of view, it would be regarded as centre-right or conservative, and that distinguishes us immediately from the other organisations. But the other plank, which is important, is that the organisation has committed to be guided by Torah values. Mm. That doesn't require any particular level of observance by any member, but if you advocate on behalf of the Jewish community, we think that Torah values are very important. I mean, all Judaism is founded on the Torah, and it's quite radical. I mean, can you imagine that a Jewish organization has actually committed itself to be guided by Torah values? And we have a number of rabbis in the background who provide advice and guidance when questions of Jewish law and interpretation arise. Now, coming to where this is highly relevant to the sort of work that Ari has done, if you take a Torah perspective to Israel advocacy, which is one of our priorities, then you say unequivocally that Jerusalem is the undivided eternal capital of the land of Israel. It's not even a question. It was established in biblical times by King David, as we know. It's where the first and second temple stood. So for us, our principle regarding that as an example is clear. Also, when it comes to discussing Judea and Samaria, which some people unfortunately refer to as the West Bank, our position is clear that the biblical heartland should be part of the state of Israel. So they're practical examples that would distinguish AJA from other organisations that are operating in Australia.
All right, if I may reinterpret what you just said, would it be fair to say that the AJA advocates for a one-state solution?
Yes, but I don't like the label. If you go back and look at the history of the way that the former areas of the Ottoman Empire were divided and the actual legal instruments that were used to create Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, etc., and the British Mandate, we already have two states. The other one's called Jordan. And Jordan actually consists of 77% of the British Mandate of Palestine. Palestine, of course, was a region, an area, and the bulk of the population in Jordan are not Hashemites that rule the area. They are actually the same ethnic background of the Palestinian Arabs. Our other guest that we brought from Israel this year was Yishai Fleisha.
Yeah.
And the reason that we brought Yishai, or one of the major reasons, is that he is an expert on alternatives to the two-state solution, and we wanted to discuss in Australia some of these alternatives. And Yishai has written an article that summarises five alternatives. I've subsequently become aware of another two. And we don't pretend to be experts as to which of those is the preferred mechanism, but we certainly believe that discussions of alternatives to what is popularly known as a two-state solution has in effect been censored in Australia. And we think the Jewish community is entitled to participate in such a discussion. And, Jono, you've actually highlighted another important difference between AJA and other voices. We're quite happy to open up and lead on the discussion of alternatives to two-state solution.
Right, right. Now, coming back to a unified Jerusalem, about a month ago, the Australian government had a change of leadership. Our new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and new Deputy Liberal Leader and Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Now, at the time, you commented saying that the AJA will be recommending some policy priorities, including relocation of the Australian Embassy to Jerusalem. Now, let's stop there. Can I just ask you, has there been any advancement there? Where are we at in that regard?
Look, we have communicated that privately, and we do plan to do more on it. Unfortunately, the government is extremely distracted at the moment. You might call it survival mode. There's been a change of leadership. There's a churn factor. There's also been a change of foreign minister. and they seem entirely focused on restoring to the best they can their electoral appeal between now and the next federal election, which is due in a maximum of 8 months.
Right.
So it's really, really difficult to advance policy changes. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't articulate them, but we think there's compelling argument for Australia to join the United States and some other minor countries who have committed to relocating their embassy to Jerusalem. It's not going to change those arguments in advocating on behalf of a Palestinian state for those that wish to do that. Because if you want to be PC, you simply say, okay, we'll relocate the embassy to Jerusalem, but we'll do it on the western side. And of course, in any scenario, the western side of Jerusalem is not subject to dispute. Even those advocating for a Palestinian state might say, okay, you've got to give the eastern side for their capital, something we would vehemently disagree with. But it would be possible for the Australian government to establish an embassy in Jerusalem on the western side in order to be PC, in order to not limit future options of,
Well, as you say, we do have an election coming up in the not-too-distant future. Beyond that, are you optimistic that this will happen?
It'll happen eventually.
You do think so?
Yeah. I
hope
because
so.
Because it's truth. It is Israel's capital. I mean, we can go through all the things that are there, the Knesset, the Supreme Court, the official residence of the Prime Minister, et cetera, et cetera. It has functioned as Israel's capital, except the diplomats on a day-to-day basis, when they want to interact with the Israeli government, they travel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But it is the capital in reality, and it simply recognises the reality. It's a very simple decision, but it's an important symbolic decision as well.
It absolutely is, and I do hope that Australia joins the US in relocating the embassy. Now, second on your list of priorities, you wrote review with a view to cutting foreign aid programs to the PA and UNRWA, which reward and or incite terror. Now you have had some success in that regard. I want to talk about that. We're just coming up to a break now, but this is where, unfortunately, the very sad story of Ari comes in. So after the break, if we can address that, we will be right back, dear listeners, right after these messages. Don't go away.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman returns to Israel News Talk Radio on October 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time. Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Van Dor. Ross is on his way to Israel. He's traveling as we speak. And joining me is Dr. David Adler of the Australian Jewish Association. We went to the break talking about the new leadership that Australia has. It was about a month ago that we had a change in leadership. That one of the priorities that we hope will come to fruition is the relocation of the Australian embassy to Jerusalem. Second on your list of priorities, David, was review with a view to cutting foreign aid programs to the PA and UNRWA, which reward and or incite terror. Now, this is what we usually refer to as pay to slay. Unfortunately, it would appear that Ari Fuld, our colleague and friend, has become victim to such an initiative, to such a motivation. 17-year-old Arab terrorist stabbed him in the back multiple times on the 16th of September. Ari pursued him and saved others' lives in the process, even though he was
seriously wounded, and he drew his gun and in true heroic style, fired a couple of shots and hit the terrorist, who is now enjoying recovery in an Israeli hospital. It's unbelievable. Where are we at in regards to now? Can you bring us up to speed with the success that you have had thus far, and what else needs to be done in as far as Australia's taxpayers' funds going to initiatives like this?
Jono, we've been campaigning vigorously on this for many months, and indeed had a major success early this year. Mm-hmm. On the public record are elements of our campaign. One that I could commend to your listeners is if you were to go to Google and put in the words Spectator Magazine David Adler, you will see a few articles that I've published. Mm. The one in March of this year was entitled Australian Tax Slayer. It was the cover story of the Spectator magazine. And so our argument is laid out in that article.
Now, let me interrupt you, because there was a very powerful image that accompanied that story. Oh. It was the cover of the magazine. And if I remember correctly, it was a Jewish person face down with an Australian $100 bill stabbed into his back. And again, unfortunately, this reminds us of our friend Ari. Please continue.
It's eerie. It really is that illustration and what happened to Ari is so similar. And the illustration was to highlight the nexus between money and terrorism. Mm. And there are two arms to this, the incitement and the reward. The one that's easiest to argue and demonstrate is the reward, which is the pay for slay program that you referred to. It's admitted by the Palestinian Authority. They have increased the amount of money in their current budget to just over $400 million to pay terrorists. They have admitted that the killer of Ari Fuld has received an advance of $3,300 approximately. And so we argued by having questions raised in Parliament, by having questions raised at the budget estimates hearings, by having direct representations made to the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister and former Foreign Minister, demonstrating that Australian money, although they say is being used for one purpose, when it goes into a pot of cash, it can be used for any purpose. It gets mixed up. And we convinced the government that the direct aid to the Palestinian Authority should be ceased. And on the 2nd of July, Julie Bishop, then Foreign Minister, made that announcement that the $10 million of direct aid to the Palestinian Authority would be redirected to a UN humanitarian fund. Mm-hmm. Now, the UN has its own problems, the UN funds, but they're not as bad as giving direct aid to the PA. So we were very pleased with that outcome. Australia has in its 2019 budget, 2018-2019 budget, the sum of $43 million, which is allocated to the what DFAT, the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, calls Palestinian territories. The largest single component is $20 million, which is paid to UNRWA, mm-hmm. United Nations Relief and Works Agency, which runs the schools. We have been demonstrating that much of the so-called educational material is not education as you and I would understand it. It's actually political propaganda. Mm. It denies the existence of Israel. It promotes violence. There are numerous examples in the school books. And UNRWA is part of the incitement of terror by, unfortunately, indoctrinating, brainwashing young Arabs that Israel is illegitimate and the way to deal with the so-called occupation by the Zionist entity is through violent resistance. Mm. Now, it may well be that Ari Fuld's killer, a 17-year-old Arab, went to an UNRWA school and received this teaching. I mean, what on earth motivates a teenager to pick up a large knife and go out to kill a Jew? And it's not normal behavior. It requires quite a lot of indoctrination, and it's basically taught hatred. So the United States has decided that UNRWA is beyond repair and that they're going to stop funding UNRWA
altogether.
Israel is delighted with that announcement and has confirmed that UNRWA does not build peace, it builds terrorism. We have to use that line over and over again. This type of foreign aid doesn't build peace. It's been given for decades. It has made no progress. What it builds is terrorism. And Australia's $20 million is an indirect facilitator of terrorism, and we're going to go after it.
Well, it's good to hear. It's wonderful to have someone like yourself. I have to say, 10 months ago when we were in last November, listening to you and listening to Ari was one of the most inspirational meetings I've ever been to. And I certainly felt that both yourself and Ari were people that I could get behind and feel secure with. And Ari was one of those people that you really felt very, very secure. He knew what to say. He was entirely enthusiastic about who he was and what he was doing. And this was the last person that you would expect this to happen to, which makes one wonder, David, and I don't know if you've had any information on this, was he targeted because of who he was? Or was he? I've read some reports that he was targeted because he was an American, but was he targeted because he was Ari Fuld? I mean, he's a very public person, as I already mentioned, Israel News Talk Radio, the Bulletproof Program, but also on ILTV, on Israeli Frenemies, and various other platforms. Very, very vocal on Facebook.
I've also heard a number of people say that. It is very reasonable speculation, but it is only speculation at this stage. His killer, of course, is in Israeli custody, no doubt will be vigorously interrogated by the Israeli authorities, and I hope they will provide information about motivation in due course.
Now, one other thing that we may find out, David, and again, I don't know if you have any further information on this, but you mentioned that the PA has already indicated that they are going to be paying money to the family of this 17-year-old Arab terrorist. Will that go to his parents? If so, it is my understanding that the parents did tip off the IDF that they expected their son would be carrying out some sort of terrorist attack. And later that day, lo and behold, unfortunately, it happened to Ari. If that is the case, and then they accept these payments, what does that say?
And we don't know what sort of warnings were given by the parents. I've heard those reports as well. So they did express some concern to someone to watch out for him. Whether they knew that he was about to commit a terrorist act or not, other people have said that it's a strategy to save the family home, because we know that Israel usually demolishes the homes of convicted terrorists.
Yeah, that's right. Again, and I have to admit, that was the first thing that crossed my mind, was that once they had established that this was going to happen in an attempt to save the home, that they go and tell the authorities when they know that it takes time to organize a response, and that the act would have been carried out before response time was adequate. So, but it's a horrible, horrible tragedy, and we couldn't have lost anyone more valuable than Ari Fuld, hero of Israel, a true Israel advocate.
Yeah, look, absolutely, an extremely valuable person. He was not only doing the standing together type work, he was doing tremendous media work on social media, on television. He would debate all comers. And look, at his final act sends shivers down your spine. If you are injured with a wound that is causing hemorrhage, internal or external, the first aid is to lie still and apply pressure to the wound in order to try to minimize blood loss. And Ari, through his IDF training, would have known that. But what he actually did was the opposite. He got up and exerted himself. Now, if you want to make a wound worse, that is exactly what you would do. Yeah.
Mm.
And he may well have done the ultimate Nasiris Nefesh self-sacrifice in order to pursue the terrorist, in order to injure the terrorist so that they could be captured and not harm others. So he lived a hero and he died a hero.
That's true, and he'll be dearly missed, absolutely. Mm. Dr. David Adler, thank you so much for coming on to Israel on My Mind. I hope we speak again soon.
Delighted. Thank you so much.
And again, that's Australian Jewish Association, AJA. You can find it on Facebook. The website is jewishassociation.org.au.
Howdy. This is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.